You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's The Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome, everyone, to this Monday edition of The Daily Dime. Today is September 1st. It's also Labor Day, so I hope you have a chance to enjoy the holiday. But for now, let's talk about some sports because we had an incredible weekend of college football. It's finally back after a long offseason, and wow, week one did not disappoint. So let's start off right off the jump with the biggest game from the weekend. We had Ohio State hosting number one Texas. And I was lucky enough to get to go to this game, and the atmosphere was just incredible. I've obviously been to a bunch of games at Ohio State, but that's the loudest I have ever heard the stadium. And the fans were just incredible from before the game, during the game, after the game. They were electric all day, and it was just a really cool day in general. Got to see the banner raising from the championship last year, Lee Corso's last headgear pick, and then obviously an incredible game between two top three teams. So obviously Ohio State goes on to win 14-7, and I had a few main takeaways. The first one was Arch struggling, and this has been kind of the headline all weekend, but I was really surprised by this. I mean, in a year where I don't really trust almost any of the quarterbacks in college football, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit later on, either in this show or in some future episodes, but you know, I thought he was one of the guys that would be kind of a surefire star, at least that his floor would be really high. And from the jump, I mean, his first throw, he threw it into the ground. Basically, he had a couple of other overthrows. He was throwing behind some guys, and it just felt like he never really got in a rhythm all day long. And that was with pretty good protection from his offensive line. It felt like he had all day to throw on a lot of these dropbacks. Now I will say, like, I thought OSU secondary was fantastic, and again, we'll talk about a little bit more about the defenses as well. But yeah, that was the main takeaway for me, was just I really thought that he would be better and help to carry the team a little bit on a team that really doesn't even need to be carried. But he was not very good, and I think he'll be fine though. I don't want to completely overreact to this. Like, we've already seen his Heisman chances, like the odds at least, take a huge dip. But I think he'll have a resurgence. I think he'll come back and be fine throughout the year. It's really tough to start at Ohio State on the road in your first like true start to start the season. And that's a great defense. I think that Ohio State's defense is pretty underrated. They obviously lost a lot of guys to the draft. And there's been a lot of talk about that, but they've had a lot of other guys in the waiting there, and you still bring back Caleb Downs, who is just a cheat code. So not an easy game for him to start off. I think he'll pick it up throughout the year. But as I mentioned before, my next takeaway was both defenses were incredible. I think they're both elite. Coming into this game, I thought Texas had the best defense in the country. I think Ohio State is at minimum top five, probably top three. And they played like it. They just absolutely dominated the game. You know, Texas didn't score until just a few minutes left. They had a couple more huge stops in the red zone, including another goal line stop, which is kind of building on the theme from last year. They were just awesome. And so was Texas. I mean, Ohio State didn't really get much going all game either. They only had two possessions where they even got into Texas territory. They ended up scoring on both of them. But other than that, you know, they didn't really have a ton going on. So you do have to give a lot of credit to the offensive lines, though. On top of that, as good as the defenses were, like I said, I thought Arch had a ton of time to throw on most of his dropbacks. And then Sand didn't take any sacks all game. I think Ohio State only had one play where they were tackled for a loss as well. So I think their line could still be improved a little bit in the run game, but overall, just in terms of their passing game, they were fantastic in protection there. And then speaking of the passing game, I thought Sain actually looked really good. He wasn't going to have the gaudy stats that you might look for, especially in most week one games for an Ohio State quarterback. But I thought he played really well. And he just kind of did what you needed to win the game. And that's what Ryan Day had said before the season in the press conference where he named him the starter. And I think that's what we've all been thinking when you look at all their weapons and you know how the defense is going to be, that, you know, you just need to just steer the car. You almost don't even need to drive it and hit the accelerator. Just don't crash it. And that's exactly what he did. He didn't turn it over. And, you know, I thought he was great all game. He stayed calm. He was poised. I even saw a tweet. I think it said something along the lines of like, Julian saying looks like he plays football with headphones in listening to Maroon 5 or something. And that is what he looks like. He's just calm, cool, collected. I thought he made a few really great throws. He was adversely affected by a couple drops, you know, from the best receiver in the country, Jeremiah Smith, and then Max Clair, who might be the best tight end in the country, drops a ball too on a huge fourth down. So his stats probably would have been even better. They also had a couple, I mean, I'll preface this. I thought the officiating was great, but there were like one or two pretty blatant holding calls where Jeremiah just got held and ended up being incomplete passes. So if you just turn around some of those drops, and maybe, you know, a penalty or two, then his stats probably look a lot better. So I was actually really impressed with him. I think they'll give him the reins a little bit more, especially in the next two games where they play Grambling State in Ohio. So that was really promising, I thought. And then, and I think Texas will be all right. They're obviously going to fall a little bit in the rankings this week. I think Ohio State probably jumps up to number one with that win. Obviously, you'll have Penn State and a couple other teams up there in the mix as well. But Texas probably, in my mind, falls into like the 7 or 8 range, and they're going to have plenty of opportunities to make their way back up to the top by the end of the year. So I think they'll be fine. That's just a really tough game. I mean, for anyone to come in, you know, to a top five opponent on the road to start the season is just extremely difficult. So, but I will say, on Ohio State's side, I was kind of thinking about this, and it might arguably be the best 5-game stretch in the history of the sport. Their last 5 games, when you look at like the AP rankings of the teams that they've played, they've beaten number 7 Tennessee, number 1 Oregon, number 4 Texas, number 3 Notre Dame, and then number 1 Texas. And in most of those games, they were just blowouts. I mean, the Tennessee game, they murdered them. That thing was over from the jump. And then the final score was a little bit closer than the game really should have been. Same with Oregon. They were up 34-0 there. Even in their closest game, which was against Texas in the semis last year, they still won by 14. Then they end up beating Notre Dame in the championship and then Texas again here. So crazy 5-game run. Like, it's just hard to even have a 5-game stretch with teams rated that highly, just the way the schedules are built and everything. So I'm not sure, you know, we may have a chance to see that just the way the playoff is now and with it being expanded, but it's going to be hard to match that. And I'm not sure if we've seen that in the past. Maybe 2019 LSU can give them a little bit of a run for them, their money, but otherwise, I mean, just extremely impressive. And you look at their last 10 games, they're 9-1. 7 of those wins are against top 7 teams in the AP poll. I think 6 are against top 5 teams. So they've just been extremely dominant. And it's funny to think, like, you know, just whatever it was about 6 months ago or what, 9 months ago, whatever it was, like, you know, we were thinking about Ryan Day might get fired. And here they are. When you look at their larger body of work, just in their last 10 games, they've been insane. Obviously, you have the stumble to Michigan, and that's kind of been the one hill that they can't get over in the past few years. But aside from that, they've been fantastic. So, yeah, really exciting, especially as an Ohio State fan, to see what they're going to be able to build on and see what they can do the rest of the year. But then later in the day after that game, we had a shocker in Tallahassee as Florida State upset Alabama, and this result just absolutely blew my mind. I was not super high on FSU coming into the season. Obviously, I think a lot of people already forgot, but they were 2-10 last year. I mean, they were horrible, and their only wins were over Cal and Charleston Southern. So this was just not a good team. But they come in and pretty much dominate Alabama. Now, they were at home. The conditions weren't great, but I thought Alabama would take a pretty big step this year in DeBoer's second year, but I was just completely wrong. And Bama just looked terrible. They looked poorly coached. They were like out of place. They looked lazy. They weren't physical. Just everything that you don't want to see out of your team, especially week one, is what we saw with Alabama. So I don't know. I was pretty high on them, like I said, coming into this year. But I think they're gonna fall pretty far in the rankings this week, and they're gonna have a lot of work to do to make up that ground. I think they have a lot of larger issues in general. Like I said, they didn't look physical. They didn't look like they were even in the right place most of the time. So if they can't clean that up, they're gonna have a really, really rough season moving forward. But props to FSU. I mean, like I said, you had such a nightmare season last year. You bounce back, play with that aggression, play with that edge, and come in and dominate, you know, one of the top teams in the SEC. So huge win for them. Then in the nightcap, we had Clemson hosting LSU, and LSU obviously goes in there and gets the win. And I thought this game kind of had a lot of similarities to OSU-Texas. You know, if you don't like defense, you probably thought these games were a little bit boring, but you know, the defenses were, they played really well. It looked like the offenses were trying to catch up, which you kind of expect in week one, you know, a little bit of sloppiness, but the defenses to be ready. And I think that's what we saw. Nussmeier played pretty well. I didn't think Klubnik did. But like I mentioned earlier, I still don't have a lot of faith in any of these QBs. And these are guys that a lot of people think are, you know, the favorites to be the Heisman. And I just really wouldn't trust any of them. None of them really scare me, you know, if my team was going to be playing against them. So I don't really think there's anyone super elite in college football this year, at least not yet. Maybe some guys will come along throughout the course of the season, but I just don't trust a majority of them right now. And two of them in this game are two of the guys that have so much hype, and I'm just not really buying it. But anyway, huge win to start the season on the road for LSU. This will definitely help prop them up in the rankings. Really rough start for Clemson. Like, you know, they were right in this game. It's not like they got blown out or anything, but just the way their schedule is, their margin of error is going to be pretty thin for the remainder of the season. Just not a lot of chances at quality wins. So if they lose another game or two, I think they're going to really, really struggle to get into the playoff. But anyway, those were the big games from Saturday. On Sunday, we had another massive week one matchup between Notre Dame and Miami. In Miami, this was another game where the conditions weren't too great. But Miami gets the huge win. You know, we've been waiting for the U to be back, basically, and we haven't seen them in the playoff yet. And this win, maybe this will kind of help propel them throughout the rest of the season and finally get into the playoff. But I really thought a lot of this game was Notre Dame kind of shooting themselves in the foot. I didn't understand their play calling from the beginning. I mean, six of their first seven plays were passes, and you have two great running backs with Price and Love. And I'm thinking, man, you can probably just pound the rock. And they only combined for 16 carries all game. So that was kind of puzzling to me. The turnovers really hurt Notre Dame. I think that was, you know, the largest difference in this one. But have to give credit to Miami for coming out and taking advantage. And we probably also, well, maybe not probably, it's still only week one, but we maybe had the catch of the year by CJ Daniels. Massive play. Beck basically overthrows him, actually, right in front of the end zone. He reaches back, kind of Odell style, one-handed catches it as he falls into the end zone. Just an incredible, incredible play, and really helped shift the momentum and the tide of that game. But one of my biggest takeaways coming out of this game was I thought Notre Dame still might be the better team. You know, you obviously lose the turnover battle. A couple things didn't go their way. But obviously they couldn't get it done on the road, and just kind of like Clemson, their margin of error is going to be pretty thin here as well. You know, they don't have a ton of opportunities to get these massive, massive wins. And if you lose another game or two, it's going to be tough to make the playoffs. So especially when you don't have a conference championship. But yeah, then on the Miami side, I was pretty pleasantly surprised by Carson Beck. You know, I think he kind of fell off the radar a little bit after leaving Georgia. There hasn't been a lot of talk about him this preseason, but I thought he played really well. And if he can get back to the form that he was in 2 years ago at Georgia, Miami's going to be really, really tough to beat in the ACC. And coming into this year, I thought this was kind of a one-team race just with Clemson. But here we are after week one where you know, Miami has a huge win, Clemson has a big loss, and I thought Beck was pretty solid. So, and so was the defense. I thought the defense was awesome too. You know, part of the reason I think the running backs only had 16 carries between Price and Love was, you know, that the Miami defensive line looked really solid. So got to give them some credit there too. But, anyway, in the rest of the top 10, it was basically some of, you know, the blue bloods here playing some, lesser schools. So Penn State, they beat Nevada 46-11. Georgia beat Marshall 45-7, and Oregon beat Montana State 59-13. So that pretty much rounds out the top 10. I did want to run through some of my, I don't really want to call them power rankings, but, you know, essentially where I would rank the teams after week one. Throughout the year, I really don't want these to be power rankings. I want them to be more based on the results, but after week one, it's kind of hard to penalize teams like Texas or Clemson or Notre Dame for playing these big time games when a couple other teams schedule some cupcakes here. So, so anyway, we'll just walk through it real quick. I'm going to give the top 12 teams. So this isn't like a playoff prediction because it's not including all of the conference champions that are going to get in. But these will be my top 12 teams, at least after week one. So I've got Ohio State at one. You know, they were already top three. They beat Texas. And I, even though the box score might not look like it, I thought they dominated huge portions of that game. So I've got OSU at one. I've got Penn State at two. Obviously, they didn't really play anybody, but they looked really solid in their win. And I think everyone's expecting them to still have a really big year. And number three, I've got LSU. Obviously, a huge win on the road beating Clemson. I think that is it allows them to move up to number three. Number four, I've got Georgia. Again, another team that didn't really play anybody, but they didn't lose, so I'm not going to penalize them. At five, I've got Miami moving up after their win over Notre Dame. At six, I've got Oregon. Seven, I have Texas. I think that's fair. Like, you already lost, but, you know, again, super tough game going on the road in Columbus week one there. At eight, I've got USC. I thought Lenore Sellers looked really good. I think they're going to be tough to beat, and their schedule isn't super, super difficult in the SEC there. At nine, I've got Notre Dame. Again, I didn't want to penalize them too hard for going on the road and playing a tough game week one. At 10, I've got Clemson. You know, you lost, but and you were at home, but, you know, again, a tough game against LSU. At 11, I've got Illinois, and then at 12, I've got Florida. So that'll be my initial rankings. I'm sure we'll get a lot of changes throughout the year. I also did notice a mistake that I made in last week's episode as I was listening back, just kind of as I was walking through my bracket, which already looks relatively busted. Obviously, a lot of time for things to sort themselves out, but I realized I had Miami listed on there twice, where I meant to say LSU. So I actually had LSU as my 11 seed instead of Miami. So I'll walk through it real quick because I want to be able to look back at this later in the year and kind of see where we were. So real quick, my predictions from last week, I had Texas at number one, OSU at two, Clemson three, Penn State four, Bama five, Texas Tech six, Georgia seven, Oregon eight, Miami nine, Notre Dame 10, LSU 11, and UNLV 12. Then I had Oregon beating Miami, Bama beating UNLV, LSU beating Texas Tech, and Georgia beating Notre Dame in the first round. In the second round, I had Texas beating Oregon, Penn State beating Bama, OSU beating Georgia, and Clemson beating LSU. Then with Texas beating Penn State, Ohio State beating Clemson, and Texas winning the championship over Ohio State. So those are my actual predictions last week. I realized I had a little bit of a typo there. But then there's also another thing I wanted to mention last week that I forgot, where, you know, there's essentially a team in the top 10 every year that ends up falling completely out of the rankings. And I think I picked two last year, and I think they both did fall out. I think I want to say I picked like Florida State and Michigan. And I think they both were out of the rankings by the end of the year. So I wanted to do that again this year. But looking at the top 10, there, you know, after now that we knew or know Alabama lost, you know, maybe I could pick them, but I don't think that's fair. So my prediction is going to be that actually all of the teams in the top 10 actually remain in the top 25, but there is a team that I want to pick that I think is going to fall out, that's just outside the top 10, and that is Florida. So I think Florida is actually a pretty solid team. I mean, they won 55-0 this week, cupcake game, but the rest of their schedule is just insane. Here are just a few of their games that they still have to play. So they have to play at LSU, at Miami, home versus Texas, at Texas A&M, home for Georgia, at Ole Miss, home for Tennessee, and home for Florida State. And that's not even all their games, but just a gauntlet to finish the year. And even though I think they're pretty solid, I just don't see them getting out of there with like fewer than, I don't know, four losses. And I don't think that's going to keep them in the top 25. So they're not a top 10 team, but I don't see them staying in there. And I mean, if they end up winning whatever, six or seven of those games, and they're going to be very much in the national championship conversation, but I just don't see that happening. So Florida's going to be that team for me this year. Again, not that I don't like them. I think DJ Lagway is fine. He does have the injury history, so if he gets hurt or, you know, they just lose some of these games that they probably should lose, I don't see them staying up there. So anyway, that kind of wraps up last week. We do have one more game today, though, with UNC hosting TCU. TCU are favorites right now by like 3.5 points, I think. But I think North Carolina is going to be really interesting. You know, obviously you have Bill Belichick in there. They brought in a ton of transfers. There's going to be so much hype around the game. I think like Michael Jordan and a bunch of other celebrities are going to be there. So we'll see what they can do. I think Bill will have them ready to play, but we've seen the past few years where, you know, bringing a lot of transfers can either, it's kind of high risk, high reward. You know, we've seen it work pretty well for some teams. We've seen it really fall apart for some teams like Florida State last year. So we'll see. They do have a very favorable schedule, though. They have one game at home against Clemson, and that's about it for like any of their tough games. So even if they're not great, you know, they might be a 9-10 win team just because of their schedule. So I don't know if they'll make the playoff, but I think they're going to be an interesting team to watch throughout the year, especially with Bill as the head coach. So anyway, we don't have that many great games next week. We do have one relatively big one with Michigan traveling to Oklahoma. So we'll talk about that one a little bit later in the week. But other than that, I think that just about wraps it up for this Labor Day edition of the Daily Dime. As always, thank you for listening. And if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you may listen. We'll talk to you again later this week. See ya.